Welcome to the Heart Zone, featuring George Cannon. This broadcast is a time of teaching and encouragement from Curwensville Christian Church. For more information, we invite you to visit us on the web at www.curwensvillechristian.org. And now for a message from the Heart Zone. Here's George Cannon.
All right, folks, what I'd like you to do is I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. We are entering into our final section of the Gospel of John. So you remember, we decided to go through the Gospel of John together with the sole purpose of meeting Jesus, getting to know him better. And as we've been getting to know him through the first three sections of John, we've gotten to know more and more about him and his love for us, but we've gotten to know more and more about ourselves and even about those who are rejecting him. So now we're entering into this last section. So this covers chapter 18 through 21. And this is, everybody should know, the section that deals with what? His arrest, his prosecution, his crucifixion, his burial, and his what? His resurrection. That's what we see here in these last four chapters that we're going to look at here. And with this, we're going to learn more and more about Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, John 18. Now, I'm really excited about these next few weeks because you're like, oh, okay, well, yeah, it's just the crucifixion story, George, and the resurrection. I know about that. I've been taught that for years. Yeah, but I'll be honest with you, as I was looking at this, and especially today as I was looking at today's passage that we're going to look at, I realized that all of us need to go deeper. What do you mean we need to go deeper? Well, I got 2 points. There is a tendency to think that we know everything about Jesus. So there's this tendency to think that we know everything about him. That's especially true for me because I have studied, devoted my education towards the study of the scripture and so forth. That's true for all of us, whether we were raised in church and we've done Bible studies and Sunday school and listened to messages or whatever. And we basically have this concept that when it comes to understanding the events of what happens, his betrayal in the garden, his being, having several, in one evening, several, quote, trials, and then, of course, the whole rejection of Jerusalem and then being crucified and then being buried and, of course, the events of the resurrection, we can get to the place where even if we're reading in our devotional time through God's Word, we can kind of think, and it's happened with me, like, well, okay, yeah, I'm supposed to read this today, but I already got it down. I already know. I mean, I could probably tell you what's going to happen. I could probably bring in all four Gospels and tell you what each one is doing. And we have this tendency to think we already know it. We already know everything. Yeah, but we don't. So I was reading a book here recently where the author was describing that your knowledge of Jesus is like being on the ocean and seeing an iceberg. And you see the tip of the iceberg coming through the water, and you know that beneath it is there's so much more. And what you know about Jesus is that tip that's above the water. There's so much more to him that you don't know. And that's going to come out today. So like we understand, we're going to look today about Jesus being betrayed in the garden. So we know Judas came up, kissed him. Of course, we know that Peter's reacting and cutting things off, and Jesus is healing. And so we know all of that. Yeah, but let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. In fact, that's my second point. The cross of Jesus requires us to delve deeper into who he is. Because Jesus is facing a crisis. I mean, this is a crisis, right? You're being faced with being arrested and then ultimately being tried and then executed and then buried. This is a crisis. And so I think it really behooves us to to take some time and go a little bit deeper and understand him a little bit more. And that has, can I be honest with you, when you see how he reacts to this, that has implications for you and I in our everyday lives. That has implications for how he's working in your situation with what you're facing and what you can know about him in the midst of it. So let's look at the scripture together. We're going to look at verses 1 to 11. Now again, I'm going to tell you, this is John's gospel, so there are some things in this passage. You'll know the story, but John doesn't include those in his story. He's going to include what he wants you to see because he wants you to see something about Jesus. So let's look at verse 1. It'll be up on the screen as well if you want to read with us there. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with him. Now, when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Let me read that again. Armed detachment, torches, lights, swords. Who are you coming for? Jesus of Nazareth. "I am he." John tells us that they were drawn back and what? Fell to the ground. Okay, let's go on. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he answered, "I've told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, 'Of those whom you gave me, I have not lost. I have lost none.' Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, 'Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?'" All right, folks, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at these verses, and I'm just going to put it in one section, and that's where we're going to spend our time today. And that is that Jesus is above the crisis. He's facing a crisis. If you don't think this is a crisis, how about a platoon of soldiers fully armed showing up at your house wanting to arrest you? That would be a crisis, right? You'd be like, "What's going on?" And you'd be frantic. You might do some things you shouldn't do or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, it's a crisis. But what we're going to see here about Jesus is the crisis isn't the one who's in control. What you're going to see as we delve deeper is somebody else is in control. So let's look at this together. First thing I want you to notice is, let's talk about the crisis for a moment. It's normal for a crisis to exert control over our lives. It's normal for a crisis to exert control over your life. So what I want you to do, I want you to, for a moment, think about the last crisis you went through. Maybe it was something at work. Maybe it's something in your family, maybe some kind of financial thing, or like what's happened here recently in the Cannon household, is we had one of our vehicles that we were counting on just get totaled because of a buck. Welcome to Pennsylvania, right? Okay. You know, and so that created a crisis. What are we going to do now? How are we going to do this? Where are we going to look for? Because it's a different market right now. It's not like cars are falling out of the air, okay? What do we do? So there's a crisis. And what happens is that crisis, whatever you're facing or have faced, if you think about it for a moment, they want to exert control over your life, don't they? They want to force you into decisions and force you into actions. And so it's normal for a crisis to exert control. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as we go on. But here's what I want you to see. Jesus will show himself to be in control despite the crisis. Now, what I want you to see here is we're not going to look at this passage and say, okay, so here's how I'm supposed to handle the crisis. I'm going to be like Jesus and do like Jesus in the crisis. No, you can't be like Jesus. He's not doing this so you have an example to follow as you face your crisis. The purpose of him showing this is so that you understand the Jesus who's with you. And the reality is that he is in a crisis, but the reality is he's above the crisis. And that will actually be comforting to you. Because as you're in the midst of the crisis and it's trying to exert control in your life, the reality is that you have Jesus who's what? Above the crisis. Who's above it. He will be in control despite of the crisis, even when you are not in control. And sometimes we're not in control. But he is. So here we are. We've got a crisis. Crises tend to want to be in control, but Jesus is above it. So how is he above it? Well, I think it's interesting. If you look with me, I think it's really interesting here. Look with me, first of all, at verse 4 through 6. This is the first thing that just blows you away. Therefore, knowing all things, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him. So first of all, he knows what's going on. So he's not caught by surprise. Okay, so Jesus isn't, what's happening here? The arrest, the trials, the crucifixion, the burial, all of that. Let's just go ahead and realize that he's not caught by surprise by any of that. He's not like, oh, Father, I didn't know this was going to happen. No, he knows what's going on. So here it is. Therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward. He goes out and meets them and says to them, who are you seeking? Who are you coming for? Who do you want? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth.